All right, we're back with another episode of the Raging Robot Partycast. That was Hot Fire from the Outrun 2019 soundtrack, which I used because it's the appropriate year for it. Still don't have my rocket car. Kind of mad. I am Josh, joined by Ryan. We're your hosts. We're here. We're doing a show. We actually literally just recorded a WrestleMania show, which, much like WrestleMania, went way too long.
That it did. As Josh said, just to reiterate, I'm Ryan. I only meant that to probably go about 30 minutes, and we got a full episode out of it, so hey, there's that.
You get an entire intro for one show.
Yeah.
All right. What'd you do other than watch a lot of hours of wrestling?
That weekend, I did something interesting. I went to a gun show.
Oh.
So
somebody invited you to the gun show, eh?
Yes. If I didn't think I would have gotten shot or got kicked out, I said it would have been really tempting just to go up to all the girls and be like, "Yo, girls, what do you think of the gun show thus far?"
But now,
they are an interesting experience to go to. You know, it's a bunch of gun sellers. Big shocking whoop there. But some of the more interesting things, you know, we're in Texas, where the laws are rather loose.
Yeah.
So there are people out there with a 50 caliber, which, for those of you who are curious, are the things that are stuck on the side of tanks. And they make them into sniper rifles sometime. It was about $3,000, in case you need to blow the engine block out of a car, or you need to pierce a tank, because that's what that gun can actually do. There was also a guy out there selling Dragon Breath shotgun rounds.
Oh, yeah, that's fire.
Yeah, that's literally what he said. Those literally shoot fire. They're expensive. It was 5 for 30, which I guess one of my friends is saying was a good deal. I bought a pistol, for those who care, but just something to go to the range.
Cool.
I like target shooting. But, yeah, besides that, watch wrestling.
There was no shortage of it.
Yeah. Then, I will say, y'all do the math on this. The one booth that I was not exactly happy or comfortable with was the booth that was selling fake Nazi patches.
Ah!
Then there was a blonde kid standing there talking about German history, so y'all do the math on that, but
I don't like any of that.
Neither did I. I was rather uncomfortable. I avoided that the entire time. Like, I didn't catch it, because me and my friend just sort of walked by, like, super fast. And so we were just power walking.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, that's sort of the thing is, I didn't notice it the first time I walked by it. It wasn't until I was walking back to the booth, which I was purchasing my firearm from, that I saw it. And I'm like, yeah, let's keep walking faster.
You should put them on a list.
Probably. And then, because I go, because I can't be all about the guns, I also purchased CBD oil while I was there, but
All right. Guns and CBD oil. Probably don't use that on your gun. Maybe do. Maybe the gun has anxiety.
Who knows, but no. One of the more interesting things, I don't know if you saw this today, Josh, was they released another trailer for Lion King CGI.
I didn't.
It actually looks good now.
All right.
And I was asking, like, I was talking with it about my friends, is there's this weird thing where they keep releasing one early trailer, which looks not great, and then they release another trailer that's, like, a full trailer that's totally fine, and it still has the same Disney magic. Admittedly, Lion King's backlash wasn't nearly as bad as Aladdin's first trailer's backlash.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know why they keep doing that, but they did.
Cool.
Another thing also that me and Josh did, I wanted to talk about, that I didn't talk about, and it's a bit older now, but that's because it was prior to the podcast about a week. The Dora the Explorer Nickelodeon Disney trailer that came out. I never thought the words, "Dora, what do you plan on doing with that knife?" would come out of my mouth. But literally, in that trailer, the way it is cut is, alright, I see four armed men. And then Dora pulls out a knife, and one of the other girls goes, of course Dora brought a knife on the field trip. And it's like, are we going to see Dora, like, take some guys out, or...
I hope so. I'm looking forward to this movie.
Apparently, Dora the Explorer is a prequel to Tomb Raider, in case you were unaware, because that's what Disney is going for. That trailer...
Is she a Disney property now?
Dora, forgive me, Nickelodeon.
I was very confused for a minute.
Give it a year. But... yeah, that trailer just is really weird. If you haven't seen it, look it up. That college humor skit is way more accurate than you thought it would be.
Trailer front, all I gotta say is that Joker trailer's still weird. That movie might be fine. That's all I got.
Yeah. I have a tendency to watch a lot of film trailers. I'm quite excited. Come September, I believe, they start... Or, actually, it should be very soon. They'll start releasing their trailers for the next seasons of television show for all the new shows.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of my favorite times of the year.
It's always interesting.
I'm always excited to talk about that.
What came back and what didn't and what's coming.
Yeah.
See what's going to be canceled on Fox.
Yep.
I finally saw some movies. I finally saw Into the Spider-Verse. It was great. Did not disappoint whatsoever. In fact, exceeded expectations. Totally cried a little bit, as I tend to do. Bumblebee as well. Also great. Throw all those other Transformers movies in the trash, because this one got it right. And it's almost as if you hire someone who isn't creatively bankrupt, you get a much better product. Wow! Who knew? But yeah, it was great. I really, really enjoyed that, and would recommend anybody to see it. Even if you're burnt out on Transformers movies, it's not just a good Transformers movie, it's just a good movie. So, 10 out of 10. Do see that. I saw some of Venom. It was fine. I would probably watch it again. I recorded it because it was on one of the movie channels, and I missed most of it the first time. That end reveal thing is still goofy with Carnage.
It is, but...
That's a bad wig.
That is a very bad wig.
It's not... It doesn't not look like him, but... Woof.
You know, knowing who Woody Harrelson's father is, the fact that he's playing a serial killer is a bit weird. But
What else did I do? I watched episode 9, season 2 of Amazon, so I'm almost done, so we'll have that review soon. I started Kamen Rider Black, because why not just up and start another one for no reason? It's all the things I like in that era of television in one thing, which is great. It would have been completely at home during 90s Sci-Fi Channel as a rerun. It's got all the best sort of practical visual effects, and it's just really good. Yeah, you know, if you're some rich guys, don't sell your sons to a weird cult that will turn them into karate bugmen. That's a moral that everyone can get behind.
That it most definitely is. We'll talk about it more. I've been slowly but surely getting through X-Files, because, as I mentioned on our very first episode, I have a lot of free time, because I work a midnight shift, and so 4 to 5 hours a day, I'm at home, so I marathon a lot of things.
Yeah, I came in, and he told me not too long ago that he was watching season 1, and I think he'd just gotten to 2, and he came in, and he's on 4, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of show.
It is, and it's a lot to remember, so we'll probably do a proper sit down and talk about it.
I want to remember. That's the title of it. I want to forget the most recent season.
Yeah.
It ended fine. I got some cool Japanese stuff in the mail. I got the Gundam Micro Wars things. They finally made their way out of customs. They're great. I did some pictures of them. I will do more. I think that's actually all I got for the moment.
You see anything else?
Trying to remember. It seems like I did, and I've promptly forgotten. Oh, yes, I do remember. I've been watching some of Ultraman, the Netflix one, and it's really interesting to look at because it's, I think it's Production IG that did it. Sorry, I just cracked my knuckles on the mic. They did Ghost in the Shell, and it's all 3D CG, but it's cel-shaded, so it looks good. It moves very interesting. Nobody has turned giant yet, which is conspicuous for an Ultraman show, but I honestly kind of like human-sized heroes, so cool, maybe, we'll see. I wasn't sure how I was feeling, and then I watched episode 2, in which Shin Hayata, the original Ultraman, in a power suit, vertical suplexed a robot enemy, and I'm like, okay, this show's great! 10 out of 10, would watch again. Because anything that has an unnecessary wrestling move in it that is completely impractical, it's fantastic. Yeah. What's that? It might suck by the end, who knows?
Actually, he reminded me. I've been slowly but surely trying to get through Sekiro, or Sekiro, depending.
I think Sekiro is right.
Yeah. Shadows Die Twice. It is a Dark Souls-like.
I've heard that it's Tenchu with some Dark Souls spilled in it.
Yeah, basically, it is extremely hard. This is my very first Dark Souls-style game, so I'm still getting used to it.
Interesting.
The reason that he reminded me is just, I'm fighting a giant monster enemy that will German suplex you.
Sweet!
And,
Game of the year.
Yeah, he accidentally, like, very clearly wasn't supposed to happen. German suplexed me off a cliff.
That's even better. That sold me on the anime Tiger Mask W, which was already kind of interesting to watch, but at some point they're training by climbing up a mountain and basically having a Royal Rumble on the mountainside, and somebody just straight up gets Germaned off the mountain.
Yeah.
And I was like, awesome. So today's episode, we are going to tell you two truths and a lie as it relates to some infamous wrestling stories, because this was a wrestling themed week for the show because it was just WrestleMania weekend and we're a week late. Do you want to start or shall I?
Let's have you start.
Cool. So, I'm going to give you a couple of things, both Ryan and the audience, and it's up to you to determine which one's real and which one is complete fiction. Starting with a storyline I'm going to call a series of unfortunate events. Lemony Snitsky's a series of unfortunate events, that is. It begins, as most things did, in the summer of 2004. Matt Hardy and Lita's romance was at an all-time high. It is interrupted by Kane, who has abstractly decided that he wants Lita. No one knows why. They have a match that is a till death do us part match, in which if Matt loses, Kane will forcefully marry Lita because wrestling is weird. You can guess how this shakes out, except you can't, because Matt Hardy is fired, basically, because of a real life affair that is going on behind the scenes. And his reaction to it, I guess, is what got him fired. Which was with Edge. Lita was having a thing with Edge on the side. Enter a baby into Lita's womb. This storyline got real weird real fast, right? I am already going over what I said I would describe on this, but basically, Kane has a match with a seemingly jobber by the name of Gene Snitsky. I thought this was someone completely throwaway at the time. They still kind of ultimately were. Snitsky hits Kane with a chair. Kane falls on Lita. The demon seed child, as the announcers called it, is no more. Snitsky later proclaims, "It wasn't my fault," and seems to become a heel based on the fact that he doesn't like babies. This was also very strange. He does a promo where he comes out with a baby carriage. For some reason, Lita comes out, I believe. He proclaims, "This is my baby, and I can do whatever I want with it," and proceeds to punt the baby into the audience. Obviously, it was a doll. Suddenly, Kane turns face over the loss of his child as you do, and just ignore the fact that brought us here in the first place, I guess. So, Lita starts cheating on Kane, who she was forcefully married to, with Edge, playing up on real life, except Kane is now being played by... I'm sorry, Matt Hardy is being played by Kane. Ultimately, Lita and Edge wed on screen. Gets real weird. And did any of this seem remotely believable?
All right, I'll pick up with a second story. So, the second story I'm going to go with set, I believe, in the year 2011. WWE is, I believe this is solidly in the PG year. WWE has an idea. There is going on in the Middle East right now. We should talk about that. You know, we've done it before. We accidentally turn, well, not accidentally, but we turned one of our biggest faces into a Saddam supporter once. That kind of worked out. Maybe we should try it again. Enter by a wrestler by the name of Muhammad Hassan. Muhammad Hassan is a very good worker. He's a very good wrestler.
He's Italian.
He is. He's not Middle Eastern. He, apparently, backstage, gains a bad attitude. Apparently is having people in his ear telling him that he's better than he is.
Yeah, I can timestamp this. Actually, it was summer 05 as well, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
But anyways, in the year 2011, he is put into a feud in the Big Show because they think that he's a big stuff, that he deserves a big feud. He is put into a feud with The Undertaker. Now, Muhammad Hassan's big gimmick is people treat me badly because I'm Middle Eastern. Once again, not actually Middle Eastern.
He was supposed to be a face. I'm 99% sure.
Sure, yeah. He was supposed to be a face. But he keeps coming out and calling out the audience for being racist and treating him badly. Now, if you're curious on why I'm talking about the year, we'll get to that. So, the supposedly face Muhammad Hassan is facing The Undertaker. What happens? Well, on one, I believe it was a Raw, randomly, he calls out a bunch of people dressed as terrorists to beat down The Undertaker. This is not going very well for WWE. The storyline's going nowhere. Masad is not getting over at, or Masan, forgive me, it's not getting over as a face. What's the worst that can happen? One of the things I forgot to mention is the time frame is this was all happening prior to September. This happened all in August. Except for the last part that happened 1 week
before. Been.
Yeah. Before 9/11.
Actually, I don't mean to sound like a jerk. This was, summer 2005 at latest 2006, and this was a terrorist attack that happened in, I want to say, a London subway.
Oh, right. It was the London, forgive me, it was the London subway attack. No, you are correct. You get my time frames mixed up, I do apologize.
It's all good.
A major terrorist attack happens in London. WWE, which is currently accidentally created a terrorist on their show.
Whoops.
What are they to do?
This was pre-taped, mind you.
Yes. He is immediately basically pulled off the air and fired from the company because, as I said, a bad backstage attitude and a terrorist on air during the time of a major terrorist attack is not a good mix.
I actually watched this and they aired it uncut, other than a crawl at the bottom of the screen that says this was pre-taped.
Yes.
They didn't know. They could have not aired it, but they still chose to. Do you have notes on Muhammad Hassan's end? Because I want to say he's one of the few WWE wrestlers, other than Paul Bearer, who was literally murdered on screen.
Yes, I believe he was buried by The Undertaker, was he not?
He was, Undertaker opened a hatch on the stage and gave him the last ride through it, and he just fell onto some concrete. They showed him in a pool of blood, and that was the last we ever
saw of him.
Which is kind of messed up.
He recently popped back up on the Indies about a year ago, but yeah, besides that.
So, are we telling you the truth?
It is yours to guess.
I guess this is me. So, let's go back a little bit further to the year 2000, when the British Bulldog's still alive. Road Dog Jesse James is still going strong with the company, and he has decided to, despite having no real dog themes to his gimmick, challenge the British Bulldog to determine just who is the biggest dog of them all. A gimmick that would later be used by Roman Reigns to various degrees of effect and effectiveness. That was awkwardly formed. It culminates in a match that takes place in a cage, which is surrounded by, as you can guess it, dogs. Who was the top dog? That's for you to decide. It was Road Dogg. That was a short one.
Are we lying? To go into it.
P.S. Do you believe it?
Correct. One Raw, forgive me, I can't quite remember the year. WWE is sitting in a very comfortable spot. They're gliding along, but they have nothing to go on. So, they decide to do something. And they decide to give a big, shocking ending to Raw. What is the shocking ending, you're asking?
I think I know where this is going.
Vince McMahon decides to step into a limo, and the limo is blowing up. Vince McMahon has kayfabe died. So, to use the term kayfabe is wrestling logic. It's real. If it's real in wrestling, it's kayfabe. But
yeah.
Vince McMahon is now dead.
Super dead.
Who killed him is the question that would have been asked. But outside forces happen. What is the outside forces? One of the greatest tragedies in all of wrestling happens. Do you care to explain?
This almost ended the business. Chris Benoit murdered his family in a very tragic and violent end. I can't even really make a joke about that. And I, you know, frankly, wouldn't want to. It was very unexpected. Caught me out of left field. Did not want to believe it at the time. Was a huge fan of him since WCW. Even have some DVDs that had his ECW work on it. He was from that crop of guys that came in with Perry Saturn, Eddie Guerrero, of course. And I really think that the death of Eddie Guerrero was something that he never really got over, on top of him having basically the brain of a dementia patient from years of CTE. Not justifying murder by any means whatsoever, but I don't think he was all there to speak of, and it really messed up the business for quite a while. They did carry on, obviously. It was on basically every news outlet, cited as roid rage and all sorts of other things, and it was not a good time to be a fan. That's about all I got to say on it. It is a absolute shame. I actually threw out my Chris Benoit DVD just because it made me really uncomfortable to have around.
So, WWE, they think, unfortunately, the death of Vince McMahon has to be canceled, in particular because the murder part, the roid rage, all that didn't come out later, so the very next night they ran a vignette for Chris Benoit to make things even more awkward.
To explain what I was laughing at, the phrase canceled his death really hit me funny.
Yeah.
Cancel my death.
Pretty much. Now, this was going towards a certain storyline, and they could still manage to save it. At least they thought they could. The storyline this was building towards was Vince McMahon would die, and an illegitimate son would pop up.
Yes.
That illegitimate son was meant to be Mr. Kennedy, a mid-tier wrestler that was going to get his big push.
I'm fighting back the urge to do it. I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Mr. Kennedy, is hinted at to be Vince McMahon's son. They're going to continue the storyline anyways. They do it by just saying, Vince, you're being sued in a lawsuit.
Ah, this happens all the time.
Yes. He's only ever lost one, and that's the reason that we're saying WWE instead of WWF, Wildlife Foundation.
That's true.
But so,
those are fierce.
They move forward with it. But what happens again? Would you guess that Mr. Kennedy gets fired for steroid use or drug use?
I think he got busted being involved in a pharmaceutical ring that was basically not a legitimate way to obtain prescription medicine, and his name was on the list, and I think there were other people on it too, but he was the one who took the fall, ultimately.
Yep. Resulting in the illegitimate son getting fired.
Whoops.
Yep. Now, WWE sits down and says,
cancel my son.
They wish. No. Oh, nay, nay. They can still keep going. So, we come out to Raw in a big reveal. Who's it going to be?
I really thought it was going to be the same.
Yes. They start saying things. A lawyer starts saying things of, who's it going to be? And wrestlers slowly get out of the ring. And Sandman missed his cue to get out of the ring, so he stayed in there way longer than he should have. But that's beside the point. Your son is not extreme. I think that means you, Sandman. But it comes down to one wrestler that we mentioned.
I forgot they actually said that.
That is a legitimate thing they said.
We've done the tests, and your son is not extreme.
It comes down to one thing. Triple H. And as Triple H is standing there,
that would have been real awkward.
Very. It would have started the weirdest incest angle that Vince already tried to start once, but that is a time different story. But from out under the ring comes one man. That man being Hornswoggle.
Yes.
So he is a joke gimmick little man wrestler that was a leprechaun that lived under the ring.
Yeah. He was
He is now being treated
as a child.
After being a full grown man, and that means that Vince McMahon's illegitimate son is, like I said, a little man.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon decides to give him some tough love and starts attacking him. At certain point in time, little Looney Tune logic happens.
Yeah.
Carlito tries to attack him. He paints a hole in the wall, runs through it, Carlito tries, and Carlito eats the wall.
That didn't happen.
Yes, that actually happened. It culminates in a cage match, which is the very famous gif that you might have seen of Vince McMahon whipping a little person with a belt.
For some reason, I want to say JBL did this too. Did they both have really uncomfortable matches with Hornswoggle?
JBL?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Okay. Eventually, it's revealed by JBL that Finlay is the son of, or forgive me, Hornswoggle is the son of Finlay, Vince McMahon.
That makes way more sense.
Forgive me for that little gaffe there. Resulting in JBL and Finlay having a feud at Mania, which is where the very famous gif of JBL throwing a trash can at Hornswoggle at full force comes from. And yes, that is where, yes, like you said. And it turns out that, well, JBL wins. Because screw father's honor, I guess.
Wow. That is, I didn't believe any of that, quite frankly.
Yes.
Oh, let's see. What is also on my list? Hey, by the way, are you keeping track of the numbers? Because
I'm not.
No, not the time numbers, but where we are on our, which one should be a truth and which one should be a lie.
Well, I mean,
Okay, so I did that one, and that one, and you've done one. So I think we're at three. So it's about time to choose which one is not true. In this case, appropriate of wrestling, fake. Ryan, do you know? Because I have a feeling you do.
I do.
Okay.
And there is, I believe, a grain of salt to this.
Yes, there is. And I'm glad you caught that.
It is the Top Dog match.
That is correct. I fabricated that based on several things that actually did sort of happen. One being the feud between the former Ahmed Johnson, I believe now going by Big T, and Booker T in WCW, in which they feuded over the letter T. Also, the Kennel from Hell match involving Al Snow and Big Boss Man, which might appear later on this list, I'm not certain. We just outed that one as true. Oh well. So, I've got just a few more that I can go into. Speaking of illegitimate children, in 2005, before Eddie Guerrero was no longer with us, this may have been 2004, I'm not certain, it was revealed that Eddie Guerrero's got a secret, and he's going to tell everybody, much to the dismay of Rey Mysterio. They were friends, then not friends, then friends, then not friends again, and now they are solidly not friends for the moment. When Eddie Guerrero reveals that Dominic, Rey Mysterio's son, who looks just like Rey Mysterio if you've ever seen him without a mask, is actually Eddie Guerrero's son, and he wants him back. And the only way to do this is to have a custody of Dominic match, which may or may not be a real thing based on the gimmick of this show. They have papers on a pole. They have a social worker who, for some reason, sees no problem with any of this. And they have a ladder match to determine the custody of Dominic. Pretty sure Ray won that. It's been a minute. In fact, he did.
I believe the contract actually very famously fell off the clipboard.
Yeah.
But you had to have custody of the clipboard to be able to sign.
There were a couple of things that went wrong in that match, but it was a pretty brutal match, to be honest with you. Other than the silly gimmick. If any of it happened. Go on.
Going to take you back. All the way back to give me a minute.
Absolutely unafraid, Goldberg will be seen in just a moment.
My apologies. Sorry, get the year. 1998. There are two wrestlers out there. The top of their prime. One man who is on a tear streak. That man is known as Goldberg. There's another wrestler. A very good one. A legend in the industry at this point in time. One Sir William Regal. These two don't like each other very much. They go on to have one of the most fantastic feuds you would have ever seen, and put on some truly classics. William Regal actually almost ends Goldberg's streak, which was a legendary streak that was eventually beaten by Asuka, but that is besides the point. But are we telling the truth?
Is that fact? Or fiction. I miss that show. Come back to TV, Jonathan Frakes. We miss you. I think you're producing that Star Trek show, but whatever. Checking my list, I've got one more that I'd like to get out, which may earn us an E or may not. I'm going to try not to. So, I'd like to preface this one. 2005, I want to say, it's strange how 04 and 05 seem to run exactly together for me, and I apologize for that. But this was the first Diva Search. And strangely, I'd like to give a whole lot of credit to my grandfather right now. My grandfather, similar to me, he's a quiet man, he had a sense of humor. It's kind of like Clint Eastwood, except I'm not like Clint Eastwood, but he is. Anyway, he was a wrestling fan going way back, and that's something that we bonded over. He was there for the territory days. He watched Ric Flair and the Horsemen come up. He watched a lot of classic stuff, and he joined me for the start of the Attitude Era and somehow continued to watch wrestling. Nothing against the era, but I'm sure it was very different compared to what he was used to. I was very young when we saw Goldust led out on a leash by Luna with a ball gag in his mouth. It was quite a scene. I believe his exact words for that were, "Good Lord." So I'd like to bring you to the Diva Search, which was a contest they held to determine who was going to be the next WWE Diva, because at the time, apparently, they were not women. They were divas. Not sure what they were going for there, but I guess that was how they wanted to brand them. Instead of superstars, they were divas. So we had a crop of ladies who wanted to prove themselves as the next top star for WWE, which was done through various talent competitions. Absolutely nothing seemed to be wrestling adjacent for some reason. So we have a contest in which Christy Hemme decides to eat a pie with her butt. And if that doesn't strike your fancy, I'd like to bring you to the Diss the Diva competition, in which these fine ladies were given a live mic, and these women made the fullest use of it possible. I'm surprised it made air, other than the fact that the show was live. They did censor some of it, and they did it too late. There was some very colorful language used, and implications of using a special talent with your mouth to get where you are, as well as something that I did not know what it was, but this will be the only swear I use for this one so far. One of them called the other a, quote, glass bottom boat loving bitch. I did not know what that was. I looked it up. I'm not so sure that she is that. I don't know if anyone enjoys that, and if you do, I'm not going to shame you. You do you. It's not hurting anybody, I assume. But they said that on TV, and it was pretty nuts. It was not the worst thing that was said, I think, but the most out there. And we should probably play some clips from it at some point. Probably not on this show, but if we ever do another What Was Going On to this point in time in wrestling, we'll do that. Christy Hemme won. She went on to, I think, be women's champion for a second, and then she was in a band, and then she was on Impact Wrestling, and I don't know where she is now, to be honest with you. That's all I got on that one. Do you believe that they said glass bottom boat loving bitch on live TV?
Now, I believe that was three.
That was three.
So do you care to guess the lie, Josh?
I believe the lie was the William Regal match, because I do know that they did have a match, and it was famously not that great.
Correct. And famously, William Regal refused to work with Goldberg ever again.
Yeah.
I believe one of the things that got him fired, actually.
I think he shot on him.
He very famously said that Goldberg was the worst wrestler he ever worked with at that point in time, and that, like, he had to carry him to his own loss.
I believe that at the time. He was, he had a very specific set of skills that he used.
Yes, they worked very well with him to do what he needed to be get done.
Yeah. So, did you get those right? And we completely forgot to tell you this was a drinking game. So just drink for everything we said and rewind it.
Yeah. It's in honor of the fact that I think my first beer was at a WrestleMania party, so...
Nice.
Wrestling and alcohol's always gone together for me.
I was probably there.
I believe you were. But, so, to go into the next one. The year is 1999. A gentleman by the name, as I believe we've already mentioned his name, Big Boss Man. He was a police officer that carried a nightstick. He also constantly worked as a bad guy and was often considered one of Vince McMahon's golden childs and go-tos.
He was good for a big dude.
He was. And he wrestled with another very, well, good at times, big dude, The Big Show. Now, they were having...
I'm not sure which way this one was going.
They were having a very good feud, but WWE wanted to step it up. So, how did they do that? Well, they have Big Show drop a garbage dumpster onto Big Boss Man's car while Big Boss Man is still in it. This makes Big Boss Man angrier than angrier can be. So, how does Big Boss Man respond? Well, in kayfabe at least, Big Show's father had just died. In real life, he had actually just died a few months prior. But they decide to have a funeral. How does this funeral end? The funeral decides to end with Big Boss Man dragging away Big Show's father's coffin. And it even has Big Show jumping on the coffin and getting dragged along with it for a little bit. Now, is this a lie?
That seems very uncomfortable. My list is almost out. Let's see. Actually, I do have one more thing I can use, which is the paranormal and wrestling have always had a weird relationship with one another, with individuals like The Undertaker being an undead mortician, Kane being a burn victim who is apparently also The Undertaker's brother, who may or may not have been injured in a fire when Undertaker burned down their parents' home. Not so sure if Kane counts as paranormal, but whatever, we're moving on. Actually, no, he actually does count as paranormal because he can summon fire. If you can believe that sort of thing. Anyway, I can. So we've had Undertaker, Kane, we've had Papa Shango, who is a voodoo man who once made the Ultimate Warrior sweat black stuff, as you do. We have had the Boogeyman, who is just the Boogeyman, apparently. There is the fact that many Japanese wrestlers can, for some reason, spit poisonous mist. I'm not sure if that's only a trait that Japanese wrestlers have, or if all Japanese people have that, but I assume it's just the wrestlers. I've never seen anyone outside of a wrestling context do it.
Well, Japanese wrestlers,
quote unquote. Yes. There have been some who are solidly not Japanese who have also done it in terms of wrestling. Which brings us to vampires. When used right, they're great. When used not so right, they're not so great in certain literature things, but we're not going to go into that because that's old hat. We're going to talk about Gangrel, a name they had to pay for, because Gangrel is the name of a clan in Vampire the Masquerade, and they had pitched it based on that and said, I got nothing, let's just pay them for the name. Hey! So we got Gangrel and his minions, the Brood, who include Edge, who was a man who screamed on subway platforms until he was brought into this feud, and Christian, who is apparently Edge's brother. Not sure if there was some subtext where Edge is supposed to be some kind of vampire hunter or something, but Christian is under Gangrel's enchanting spell, which sounds way more romantic than it actually was, and Edge has no choice but to apparently join up with him. They have some great feuds with the Hardy Boys, the Acolytes, many others. They're great. They have a fantastic theme song. They come up out of some fire. At some point, Edge and Christian break off, become two of the most popular and winningest tag teams of all time. And Gangrel adopts the Hardy Boys as the new Brood, because the new anything is always great in wrestling, which is why it lasted about a week. Flash forward to ECW on Sci-Fi Channel, because wrestling and sci-fi actually can mix pretty well. We have Kevin Thorne, who is just kind of hanging out outside the arena in his early vignettes. And he's eventually introduced as Kevin Thorne, a man who, per Matt Stryker, frequents bike clubs and has a valet named Ariel. He was actually pretty decent in the ring. He was also originally Mordecai, who was a Undertaker in All White, and he quickly fizzled out and was never seen again. Came back as Kevin Thorne the Vampire. He was as good as a vampire named Kevin can be. Do you believe that they ran with a sort of crazy gimmick, Ray?
Do you believe?
We didn't go anywhere.
Nope. Not at all, sorry. Bathroom break. But I want to bring you up to the year of 2008. Two particular wrestlers, not exactly in their prime, but they were still doing good. Scott Steiner and Triple H were coming across each other. They had had two or three battles. They went well. But then, much like it always does, something happened. That something being, Triple H accidentally injured himself in a match.
Whoops.
Yep. It happens. I believe it was a pectoral, but I can't really remember what it was.
If it wasn't that, it was his quad.
Yeah. He's injured, like, every part of his body at some point in time, including his throat getting crushed once by Rob Van Dam, but...
One time he tore his quad so hard that he came back to a U2 song.
Yeah.
Don't do that if you are a wrestler. Don't come back to a U2 song.
No. That's at the point. They have to keep going. So, what do they do? They decide to put them in contests.
Yes.
Various random contests.
You know, like arm wrestling. Like
beer drinking. Pizza eating.
Yeah.
Things like that.
You know, things that are adjacent to wrestling, like pizza eating.
But they decided to one day get a guest celebrity to guest star on Raw. They do this sometimes.
They did it a lot during this time frame.
Yeah. And this time... they decide to go with Duff Goldman.
The Ace of Cakes! The Ace of Cakes!
And Triple H and Scott Steiner had a cake-eating contest.
Yeah, they did.
It was a nasty, brutal one, and it resulted in half the audience getting covered in cake when Scott Steiner flipped the table on him, because that is just traditionally how their contest went.
Scott Steiner said... I'm going to give you some of this cake for your fat asses. Because that's what Scott Steiner says.
Yes, yep. And decided to throw it out to the audience. Now, which one of these is the lie?
Well, I'm going to say that on that last one, the time frame doesn't exactly check out. Because the Scott Steiner and Triple H feud was around 03. That's how I did it.
Yes. No, yes. Now, Steiner and Triple H, again, we combined a few. Steiner and Triple H did very famously have a very stupid flex-off in the center of the ring.
It was questionable, but it happened, and, you know, we can't walk it back.
And, I borrowed the injury angle from, I believe it was MVP versus Matt Hardy.
It was, and they did have a pizza-eating contest.
And
that one.
Yeah. And they also have like a beer chugging contest one point in time too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Because Stone Cold was still around, I think. And yeah. MVP accidentally did injure himself by fighting Matt Hardy during a feud, and they didn't want the feud to end, so they just took it down to various non-wrestling contests.
As you do.
Yeah.
When you can't do the thing you're supposed to do, Sometimes you just gotta eat a bunch of pizza.
Sometimes you just gotta wing it.
And that works for us.
That it does.
Well, we hope to God this was entertaining.
Very much so.
We might workshop this and try it again at a later date. I accidentally went a little bit against the format I intended to. But it's just hard not to talk about that one storyline with Kane and Lita and everybody in it. Because it's so buck wild.
And yeah, unfortunately, wrestling makes it hard in general because almost everything you can come up with happened, in all honesty. Yeah.
We do have an episode arranged where I have a friend who does not watch wrestling, and we're going to make them watch wrestling and have them talk about how they felt and what they liked or disliked about it. And we might do a similar quiz to this where we ask much more vague questions and see if they can figure out what's kayfabe and what didn't happen.
But all right.
So this was the episode. I hope you had fun. I hope you learned something. Sorry about that Dis the Diva thing. Ryan, you got anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
I almost asked you if you had any plugs.
Not
Listen
quite.
To our show. It's out there.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, I don't think it is yet, but we're working on it. Here's the same outro theme. See you next time.